Now to a new Australian theatrical work that's premiering in Melbourne on Friday the 14th of August. The Sacrifice of Farinelli is set in 1700s Italy during the Baroque era, a time well before the rights of the child and when women were banned from the stage and from church choirs. And it's in that world that the castrati, male singers who were castrated before puberty to preserve their high voices, sit at the top of the musical hierarchy. And the most famous castrati of all had the stage name Farinelli. The writer and director of The Sacrifice of Farinelli is Stuart Bruce, and I'm very pleased to say he joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Stuart.
Thank you for having me.
So, Stuart, who was Farinelli?
His real name was Carlo Broschi, and I just start him out as a regular human being, but he was plucked from obscurity thanks to his talent and then the castration and parachuted into the conservatories of Napoli, the Kingdom of Napoli at the time, a centre of music in Europe. And then he trained with the great Maestro Porpora and became this legendary singer, Farinelli. And I see him as this sort of icon, the first kind of rock star of the stage, the sort of Michael Jackson or Elvis of the time.
Yeah, he was hugely famous and popular across Europe and had, by all accounts, an extraordinary voice.
Extraordinary. There's the testimony. The awe and wonder of these high notes, expressions that could go for a minute because of this huge breath capacity that castration and then the breathing exercises gave the castrati such incredible voices, almost supernatural to people.
It is fascinating. How did you become interested in Farinelli as a historical figure, but also as a subject for the stage, Stuart?
In my studies of music and singing, I sing with a regular baritone sort of tenor voice, but I also have this falsetto range.
Ah.
And it's a very interesting range for a male. It's kind of the sound of vulnerability. It's using the false vocal cords, the secondary vocal folds over the main vocal folds. And then if you open up into the resonant chambers, you can get a soprano-esque sort of sound. And it's this interesting relating with a feminine sound within the masculine body. And then digging into the history and learning that at that time, that was considered the most beautiful sound. And then digging into the metaphor of what that means for an artist and what that means for, I guess, the price of trying to reach for something more beautiful and the ultimate price being pain, a castration. So you lose your fertility.
Yeah. So how much do we know about the lives of castrati and things like just how prevalent it was as a practice?
I believe at the height of castration, there were 3,000 to 4,000 boys a year.
Wow.
And so that, obviously, over time, an enormous number of children thrown into that machine.
Not all of whom, of course, would go on to be famous across Europe like Farinelli.
Exactly. It's a roll of the dice. And a lot of the children didn't make it. And of course, this is, you know, pre-antibiotics and, the surgery toll of that. And so children can die through the surgery. So it's a huge risk. And the society built around the worship of music, I guess it was seen as a risk that many families thought was worth taking. And even there was one family that castrated all 7 of their boys.
Wow. On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Stuart Bruce, writer and director of The Sacrifice of Farinelli, a new stage show premiering in Melbourne this week. Stuart, what did you see in the story of Farinelli that you regard as relevant to audiences in 21st century Melbourne?
It is really revolving around the price of being an artist and reaching for something more. And I'm finding this sort of moment that we're in now, the inflection point in our culture, is about how do we reclaim our authentic humanity in the face of encroaching technology and artifice from AI and digital electronic forms. And so I found this interesting interplay between accessing something authentic and then also reaching for something more. And what is the price of that for your identity? So it's essentially an identity play where it's constantly asking the question, how do we find meaning? And what do you relate to in terms of the art in your life? And does that deliver you meaning or does that have a high price for you in terms of whether you're living your authentic life or whether you're disappearing into the fantasy?
Fascinating. Yeah, and when you think about it, the amount of surgical changes that are made to human bodies these days in some ways is far more extensive than it was back in the days of Farinelli. You've also got a family story at the heart of the sacrifice of Farinelli. So what do we know about the real family of the singer who went on to be known as Farinelli? And what have you made of that in your piece, Stuart?
The family lived in Andria, and the father, Salvatore Broschi, was a Kapellmeister, so he was fairly senior in music. And I do something special where I have a kind of fly-on-the-wall conversation between the maestro and the father about castrating the son. And so it's a very important moment, and it's a moment that isn't recorded in history. So importantly, the power of the theatre is we can represent things that might have happened and dramatise them, even though they couldn't have been recorded in history. So there would have been a conversation between maestros and fathers all across Napoli and Italy about, you know, your son's getting older and he's changing and we need to preserve his gift. And then the second conversation I have is between the castrato and his new love. He's fallen in love and he has to have this conversation that we can't really take this relationship further because we can't get married and we can't have children. And so what does that do for your life as a female in this patriarchal society? So I'm representing these familial forms that we relate to now. And we can see in that historical context how hard that would have been, and the conflict in the father and the conflict in Carlo the castrato and his new love, Teresa.
And there's another figure who's central to the play, and that's Carlo's brother, Riccardo. Tell us about Riccardo and his relationship with his superstar brother.
Riccardo, in real history, was a composer in his own right and talented, but considered a sort of middling talent in a sense. He didn't rise to the stratosphere.
He was no Farinelli.
He was no Farinelli. He was no Vivaldi. But I guess I'm using him as a metaphor for believing in your own authentic art and finding meaning in yourself rather than genuflecting and deferring to someone else. And so he lives in the orbit of his famous brother. But I'm using this identity play aspect of maybe he should back himself. Maybe he should go for his authentic art instead of disappearing into the Farinelli dream.
Mm. The phrase that's used in the promotion of the sacrifice of Farinelli is inspired by real figures, and that's a phrasing that leaves a lot of latitude. So, Stuart, what is the mix of fact and fiction in the sacrifice of Farinelli?
I'm using historical characters, and I'm taking license from moments, events, and passages in the characters' lives that I think have significance. So, for example, I choose to take license to say that Farinelli, Carlo, has left Italy, and he was actually in London at the time, historically, and he's gone into a kind of exile. He's left the ordinary world of his fame and fortune. And in history, at the height of his career, at 32 years of age, Farinelli left the stage and never sung in public again. He retired, essentially, to the court of Spain. And he sung for the king, and there's a famous play about that that was on the West End and Broadway called Farinelli and the King, telling the story about that part of his life. But essentially I'm taking that decision to leave the stage as some kind of reason, a misanthropy, some sort of disillusionment that came upon him. And so I can unpack that, and that allows me to dramatize and explore the price of art and whether he was paying too high a price. Now, the real figure, Farinelli, was so famous that I think his wealth mitigated some of the problems with castration that the lower level castrati would be suffering. But in a sense, I pack that all in and take dramatic license and go, maybe he felt that the price got too high. He fell in love and he couldn't be with the woman he loves in the usual way that everyone else is in the society and getting married. And he sees his brother Riccardo living through him only and not accessing his authentic music. And he goes, I think I've had enough. I think I've climbed the heights of musical excellence, and now I want my own life, and whatever that can be. I'm not going to live here with a half life. I'm going to try and live my full life, whatever I can have, somewhere else. So I raise a dramatic question in the play, and so I'm taking license on that. But I feel I'm on firm ground because the real Farinelli did retire at the height of his career.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds like it has the makings of a very compelling drama. In terms of the historical figure, Stuart, you've said that he was very successful and wealthy. And I understand he lived to a ripe old age. I think he died in his 70s. But what do we know about the long-term effects and the health effects beyond the obvious of being a castrati?
I believe that it takes a toll across all the systems of the body, endocrine systems, skeletal systems. So they get osteoporosis at a much higher rate incidence. As they age, their bones becoming more brittle and breaking. And then, of course, not being married in that society and not having children to support you as you become infirm. I think it would have been a really tough road aging as a castrato, especially a not a very famous castrato too. And so I feel that I'm on firm ground to say that the hormonal effects would have been so devastating that castrato's last sort of 10 years would have been pretty tough.
We're speaking with Stuart Bruce, author of The Sacrifice of Farinelli on Sunday Extra. And Stuart, I can only assume that given the subject matter, there's going to be a lot of great music in The Sacrifice of Farinelli, but I imagine also some staging challenges because replicating a voice as famously wonderful as Farinelli's could be challenging. So what can audiences of The Sacrifice of Farinelli expect musically?
I've woven music right throughout it because my dream was to make a piece like this where you're falling into the dream and there's music, you're swimming in the music. And there's allusions to opera and this magical Baroque world, flourishing melodies and lavish costumes. And a future conception of the show is to build in arias and to have opera singers, even actors and opera singers, operating side by side. But this version, this initial staging, I have some live singing and then I have the rest pre-recorded and a sort of performative angle where, for example, Riccardo is almost stepping into this avatar of Farinelli for himself and living vicariously through Farinelli. So I'm dramatically trying to find a way through where I'm immersing the audience in the world of opera and they don't need a musical education to access it and go, wow, there's a whole world here of wonder and fantasy that I hadn't accessed before, but without the sort of 3-4 hour buy-in that might come with a huge Verdi opera or something.
Well, that sounds like a great decision. I understand, though, that there is also contemporary music in the show. What sort of contemporary music is there and why have you made that creative choice?
I'm ultimately trying to make theatre that is hyper-relevant to today. And you step into this portal to Italy in the 1700s, but then you very quickly go, oh, this is a mirror up to nature. This is our life now. And so the musical arrangements that I've built in are alluding to the digital effects and things that we're so used to now. And so we start to hear sounds that we relate to. And then it draws us much more into the present and we connect across time to our lives now. So I'm building in electronic music and even a little bit of electronic dance music at a key moment. And that is really to show the link that these elements that the characters are experiencing are super relevant to now. And even to draw a connection to the Baroque as being an origin of so many musical forms that we're used to now, because this is sort of the Enlightenment period and the flourishing of melodic forms from fairly staid forms in the past few hundred years. And an opera, suddenly this explosion of narrative form as well and characterizing in the singing. And this is all, it's sort of like the birth of pop music in a way. And so I'm trying to draw a bit of a link there so that people go, ah, this Baroque music isn't some anachronistic, stuffy genre. This is actually contains the seeds of the music we enjoy today.
Fascinating. Well, as you've described it, the play clearly poses big questions about the quest for artistic excellence or even perfection and the effect that that has on real human beings. I suppose the physical fate of Farinelli is really a metaphor for that. So before we finish up, Stuart, I just want to, it's a bit of a welfare check, really. How do you deal with the challenge of balancing out the quest for artistic perfection with, you know, getting on with your life and having a balanced life? Are you okay?
It is a challenge. I think there is something to acknowledge. I'm making this piece really for artists to watch it and go, this is a kind of a blueprint for how I can do art better and find meaning, but also access my truest art. And in a sense, that's through my discipline of managing my own welfare. So you have to ask for help and you have to take breaks and you get a therapist to sort of talk it through. And those are all actually really essential mandatory things for every artist, because you're inventing something from nothing. And that takes quite a toll, I think, because you're necessarily stepping into vulnerability and fear and trying to share something private and secret for yourself and elaborate on it. And then people can judge it and people might mark it down as well. And so it's a practice of constantly holding. I like to say it's not just hard work, it's heart work.
Well, good on you for applying the thematic lessons of the piece to your actual life, and I'm sure that will stand you in good stead for the premiere of The Sacrifice of Farinelli, which is presented by Subverse Theatre. The premiere is at Bluestone Church Art Space on the 14th of August. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra and Chookers for the show.
Thank you so much.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.